Hello.
Hi.
Okay. So much of poetry is involved with confrontations of the self, with what the self is, how the self sees and navigates the world, how the self has been adapted and inflected by upbringing and continuous, sometimes unsustainable experience, how the self wishes, how it seems always to need fixing, need adjustment and maintenance, how the self thinks it is often plural, that it contains multitudes and is sublime and impossible and terrifying, and how, because of this, it sometimes wants to contain nothing at all, to be nothing. In poetry, we have many words for what the self is and does, confessional or auto-elegiac, or in the case of sublimity, romantic, or because the self always wants something from the world, entreating and odic, or because wanting something as a best-case scenario means having it later, dramatic, or because even when asking for them, we know how it goes with best-case scenarios, ironic. I could call Brandy Nicole Martin's poems any of these things, and I could add to these descriptors less classroom-friendly ones. They're sexy. They're a little messed up. They love blood and spit and cum and shit. They're caustic and brassy and gentle and loving. They're love poems. They're love plaints. They're invectives against a difficult world that will not shut the fuck up and give a woman a break sometimes. They want to outsing the difficult world. But more than that, they want to engage the world in nightly bar fights. And they want those bar fights to be as dirty as hell. They want to gouge out the eyes of the world with the broken neck of a beer bottle they bought on a happy hour special. They want to bite off the ears of the world slowly and wear them for 14 days on a silver necklace they stole from Belk. And then they want to burn those ears as part of a pagan cleansing ritual they just made up right now, because fuck rituals, fuck cleansing, fuck pagans, fuck the gods, and fuck Belk. But, like any good bar fighter, the speakers of Nicole's poems evidence a remarkable amount of endurance. And that endurance, even given the worst odds, evidences a love for and a commitment to a world that will also just not quit. These are poems of ferocious love, and these are poems of ferocious vulnerability. They roll up their sleeves, they take off the mask of persona, and then they just go for it until the scrap is done. And the drama of them is that they do this again and again. They know this whole thing has been shadow boxing, and they know that in shadow boxing, the scrap is never done. In Brandy Nicole Martin's poems, the scrap, the fight, is a series of dire narratives in the past that haunt the speaker's present tense. These poems are obsessive in their gesturing back to these narratives. They're obsessive in their need to retell their narratives because they view retelling as a means of reclamation and as a means of retracing or redrawing the intractable, enduring self into the present tense. And to discover, as if for once and at last, how it came to all this and how it is possible to be free of all this. Brandy Nicole Martin's poetry has appeared or is forthcoming in Prairie Schooner, Colorado Review, Denver Quarterly, Bennington Review, Willow Springs, Crab Orchard Review, Washington Square Review, Nashville Review, and At Length, among others. She is a PhD student in poetry at Florida State University, where she was the recipient of the 2016 Emerging Writer Spotlight Award, selected by D.A. Powell. Please help me welcome Nicole to the stage.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I'm gonna move this maybe. Is that good?
Yes.
Too loud? Good. Thank you so much, Jamie, for that. It made me cry a little, and that's great. Thank you so much, Zach, for starting us off with such a gorgeous reading. It'll be hard to follow. And thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm going to move this again. And then I'm going to start with something brand new. And it's called Call Brandy Nicole for a Good Time. It's not going to be what you think. Call Brandy Nicole for a Good Time. A man calls me whore in a text message I ignore. A man types whore in a penitential voice and expects my eyes wide as a doe's eyes in blinders right before the truck hits, before cardinal mist drifts down to freckle my tawny skin in sheet after sheet after aerial sheet. And at least an animal can mark the earth with its blood before the truck barrels down the interstate. I don't want to watch anything else die today. I won't smear remains across my arm. I ignore liquid that is urgent and still warm. I have to. On days like today, I yank black boots over my knees. I Google deja vu and think how stupid that boots make shit like this sting a little less. I possess my father's knees. My father died 3 years after I was born into this wet, aching world, this world where some bodies have targets between shoulders from birth, where some bodies throttle down the road, vital, alive, and never to be swallowed. The first time a man tossed me in his closet, I was still moist, was still the glistening slut he had made me. My stomach, my tits, my collarbone bore evidence, and he said, "Make no noise." And he said, "Rub the flushed secret fuchsia of you." He said, "Her laugh is more beautiful than you will ever be." He said, "Listen in the dark, you are my whore again the moment she leaves." And I need to be a tree root. I must be choked under muck, and will anyone ever see my effort not to topple and take every Midwestern dick down with me? What grief to be buried underneath the breakfast, the flapjacks, the woman who gets all that, as a plaid curtain visibly lifts in breeze. And Father, I am not drunk. And Father, I am drunk on emptiness. And Father, so many men have taken strips of skin from me, and my core sinks closer to you daily. With each rape, with each command to stay hidden in shadows, with each synonym for whore, and how easily men let words loose to the wind, and why can't I waft away too? In that closet, the imprint of sneakers on my knees, on these knobby knees you gave me, and through the walls I heard sprinklers. And outside they ch-ch-ch-ch. Today, a whole neighborhood of circles that rain the promise of relief. Next one's also brand new. And it was written a few weeks ago on the 27th anniversary of my father's death. And something to possibly know is that when my grandmother was alive, she owned and managed a fernery business, and my father worked in that with her, and that my father and mother were high school sweethearts. So this poem is called On the 27th Anniversary of My Father's Death. A young couple steers past a sleek black tarp to survey their domain of fern. Their chariot, a sidestepped baby blue Chevy, putters. What thunder that anything gets done, the pair so in love, crumpled paper jostling their dash like popcorn. He's sober again, windows open. She assists in gathering Spanish moss from the trees, so they park, climb in the truck bed, and reach. Such visible targets, the king and queen, plants crinkled in their fists like stiff lace. As a child, I'd say branches were decorated. Now I think bowed with gargantuan weight, but I lift the phone to let my mother finish. It's her story today. A bull enters, bellows its rage, its horns a tuning fork pronging the sky as reminder that God stabs anything soft just to hear the pop, to watch shapes vibrate back into place. What's an empress to do but eye her man? He'll drink, stay up protecting the green from hard freeze, then one day be found dead. Mattress, game show, puke. But currently his heart still gurgles for two. The cattle lunges. He'll yank her atop the cab. Soon they'll have me, and I will spend years on my knees. O auger of nature, immortal soil, whatever. I seek the shockwaves of bovine gone mad. Warning shot my father discharged overhead. Earth pulse of my parents' nervous laugh. Thanks. This next poem is called Hands. Hands. Aloft and sleek with slider grease from the only meal afforded that week, or pressed into pine needles and mud on a night combusted with absolutely no luck until the corner of Citation and Sesame lit up like a nativity scene on Christmas Eve in the broiling car husk that was my Florida summer. I think now how every man I touch don't know shit about femur or hip. They've never dragged two useless limbs, but damn, they understand hands. The act of branding someone's throat with a bruise, a blanched palm luminous by a fire pit and moving toward the hickory of a hammer. And no, they never peeled zero form from a leg. They never felt its mesh against a thumb while watching their own scorched flesh drop tender from the bone like a pork roast they prod over and over. But they may have brushed their dusty wrists on jeans and seen a mother calling them in to eat, her hair frizzed from the steam tumbling outside. Isn't that all anyone can ask of a day that it may end? With a warm meal, a mother's hasty embrace and command to wash up, and the police officer has yet to come to the front door and tell her, brace yourself, and say if, as in if your daughter lasts the ambulance ride. I write hands now, and my mother puts a finger to my dead father's neck, the phone cord drawn long around the hall. I write hands, and my father flicks his Zippo with charisma. It's the same one I fiddle with tonight before I drop it in the glove box and flash back to the ICU, my blistered palm thrusting up to the button for nurses. And it's like magic when I grip the metal trapeze slung over my head, and I lift myself up so they can slide the bedpan under. I write hands, and I am so tired that one night I refuse to call, and that triangle bar taunts, but I flop both arms down and willingly piss myself instead. No small praise, no reserve of strength, my whole lineage of weakness leaking out for all hospital staff to see. I cover my ears to muffle the beeping, and I ask you, is that a cliche? A tree branch knotting my hair for 12 days, what we can't yank from us no matter how hard we try. What remains of a night when dying would have been so much easier. And I feel the thing keen as a vertebra a decade later, my mother's gentle search and tug, her lifting the scissors till she finally cuts the limb free. Thank you. So this next poem is called Asking the Ghost to Leave. A source says, wave smoke into all corners. Another, a smudge stick, white sage bound to a bundle with twine. I still don't know what to do. There's a spirit in my house who reminds me of you. I hear him snap inside the air vents. I see the rustled tufts of cat hair on the floor. All night long, the gas stove snatched to broil. I never rest anymore, so when the moon decomposes to violent red flare, I slog my body outside, and I see spiderwebs fence and glisten in the rain, lit veils to another plane. Like gossamer, I'm carried to you. I remember your sleepwalks, how often you'd knock your head against the doorway and not wake. You parasomniac who tosses the coffee grinds nightly. You violet-eyed matchbox. You addict, the only man brave enough to set me in the tub like I was cracked porcelain, worth something, rare as opal or bone. This summer, we made love in a ruined city and just past the ivy and beaver-eaten trees, and it's so strange I still see that abbey, that graveyard, white cross and garden on the hill. You will marry her next year. I haven't slept since you told me. Something's torn open and I don't want it to seal, but all night long my scalp peels to scabs, my nose rushes blood, and the fire ants single file up my walls as though ordered. This is how you come back to me. This is why I'll invoke the broom of birch. I'll surround myself in a circle of salt. I'll call the high priestess of hazel and woe to banish that restless soul from my rafters. And after the rain, I'll approach the slick black road, pothole puddles bubbling as if someone's underneath, white palms pressed to surface. Unwanted alchemy, perennial as teeth. Another ghost rising up and biting free. Thank you. So to close, I have to start with a little kind of thing. I have this long poem I read 11 sections of it last year. It's actually about 20 pages long. And as the first 11 sections recently got taken for publication, I've decided I'm not going to give up on the last 9 pages. So we're gonna dive into that. So what you need to know is that this long poem chronicles the circumstances of an ex-boyfriend leaving me and my journey up the entire Eastern Coast and back again for an old friend to take care of me. And then, as is always the case, the friend fell away and left me too. So I'm going to read you most of the final 2 sections of this long poem, and they will reference the ex, Todd, or you, and the northern friend, excuse me. So they'll reference the ex, Todd, and you, and the northern friend, Jesus, or him, and it'll pick up right where I'm left and going back home and, as always, losing my mind. So this is how I'm going to close. I'm just going to read through these 2 numbered sections. So here are most of section 15 and section 16 of my longer poem titled Exit Music for My Sweetheart the Cheater. Okay. So picking up kind of in the middle of section 15. Untouched, I drive for days. I fillet myself in driveways. On dog-dug patios, I came to you. Mercifully, I get shot down. Ammo grazes, and I hate myself. Comatose on county roads. Street lamp nods a body from gallows. Run down shack and Eric Clapton skips. I think Abita tastes like shit. That first hurricane night we were through. Next to Jesus, I hate myself. His noxious skin, I want to submit. I won't make the same mistakes with him. I want to haunt his sleepwalks. I want to run off the road. Fruit bowl replete to its brim. Pulverized grapes and the liquid spills over. In gray cityscapes, I hate myself. In urban firmament, I hate myself. Wrong level of bridge, buildings bullet hold open. The long drop, a lone rock, a rail trail dissembles. Through tunnels, we sink and reemerge. In a warehouse, I hate myself. Artfully, I come clean. I profess my dumb mud love. I suck, I bend, I destruct. Heart thunk on vinyl, history of the galaxy on his walls. I savor museum black holes, shotgun shell foxes, and a rabbit made of souls. In brick buildings, I want his teeth, gold veins in the street beneath our feet. In exhibitions, I submit to him, arterial, my weakness shimmers. In radios, I hate myself, in basements of bookshops, straddled on couches. I come with the laundry, I detonate an Ajax and wonder. Dryer sheet ricochet, the blackbird flits and repeats. No one pens tracks for me what backyards last rays tell old Bill in whispers out of key. I uncover the torso from weed, like game we're both circled by crows. I see Jesus in ravines. I touch ditches at the pinnacle of every summer. I can't escape drainage. I want to be held under. I don't care for her name. I am jealous of a Satanist. I write his over and over, deep throat my need, fuck all that could save me. Anxious as a lynx, fatherless, promised land, and the nectarine runs green. I'm cock-eyed as a beggar. I stay for what relinquishes me. In cartridges, I hate myself. In pull-out drawers on mahogany tables. I want him in Epsom. I readjust in the bathtub, steams red. I don't appreciate spectrum or grain. That winter, I drove you away. That morning, Hattiesburg hailed over. Ice on power lines, I hate myself. Frost on a lawn, I hate myself. Sleet, a brief sheen on a blade. Like a pipe bomb, the manuscript drifts. New beginnings slaughtered on sod. Like dog shit, I hate myself. On concrete, I hate myself. In nonfiction, I hate myself. Clay pathway, and I hate myself. In 2 agonal hearts, the circle torn apart. Murder mystery, and I hate myself. Bowl of kimchi, and I hate myself. Sundress, I press to my chest. I fuck him in shreds. Reckless, I remove each thorn. Tarot could mean blood orange, alternatively to beat the last drum. In mulch, he will leave me like lilies I set on that casket. In white, we dropped my father in the ground, blunt as a coffee cup, plain as that topaz hotel by the sea. Pain pill laced an intoxicated moon. A staple must be cut before it's snatched from a wound. In gasoline, I see my own stoned tomb. I'm plastered as a funeral urn, lush as the parasitic fern from that song. Gone my vibrance, my addiction, my myocardial shock. His cock, my own personal seance, a savior's teeth, and the evening simmers. Jesus makes dinner and I want to fuck. I don't need to inhale. I want... The Valentine glistens. It hangs from my ribcage and gestures to his. To be held under. 16. No wonder the violet bark of the railroad car. No wonder this animal breathing, air dense as days flickered out. Twig-like my insight, my body throbbing beneath the butcher's display case. Your gray, white meat, your rotten thing, and now violent, I succumb to him, split lips less and less convinced of the morphine stepping in. Gone your agonal porch, gone the slick knife of our rapid divorce, Todd. My brittle ribcage once contained a heart, and from the tightening ground, I gouge up now to press what's left to his palm, chaotic loss of calm already forcing brief exchange. Refuge for a crow's wings. A pulse beneath the drill. Springfield for boots left lewd at the gate. I don't know shit about love. No soul reflected in the television screen. How the Valentine swells, what it seeks and why it fails. I might be just enough to fuck, but too anemic now to save. Thank you. That's it.